Got a little thought, and I don't know. This seems like it ain't depressing like it was a little earlier, and gonna need the Lord. I don't care nothing about trying this without Him. If there ain't no spirit behind it, I'd just seem to just go on home and go fishing or do something like that. I'm being honest. Anytime we try something without God being in the midst of it, it's trouble. And but it's going to be a rather, I was going to just read part of it, but I'm going to read, it's going to be a rather lengthy reading. And just hope sometime during that the Lord comes by. And if He don't, we'll just let her go. That's all I know to do. But I've tried it without Him. It just don't work good. And I've never done that much here. I've always said I'd read, and then if the Lord shows up, I'll preach. And if He don't, we just won't. That's all. We can't preach without Him. In the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, it's very familiar. I remember the first time I preached on these scriptures was at Maple Grove number 2 on a Sunday night appointment. It's been years when I first started preaching. I hadn't been preaching long, and I preached on how long will you be of two opinions. But we have a different thought today in these scriptures, and I'd ask you, I want to be able to say something, be a help to you. I really do. I want to be able to say something that might comfort you if you're hurting today, and help the church, and help anybody that just to see how much we need the Lord, and He's there. My thought, I guess I've never preached on so much as omnipresent. God is everywhere, amen. All the time, everywhere. He can hear us no matter how many He's talking to Him. He's never asleep or in a journey or anything like that. He's omnipresent. Elijah came to the people and said, How long do you be between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it in the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by far, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you a bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, little g gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given to them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even unto noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. He is a god, either he is talking or in a pursuing, or he is in a journey or a preadventure. He sleepeth or must be awake. And they cried aloud, cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances until the blood gashed out upon them. And it came to pass at midday when they passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither a voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And I'm not going to go on and keep reading, but if you'll go on and read that, and I'd encourage you to read it, you'll find if you'll go on right down to the 39th verse that Elijah built his altar. The gods of Baal, the prophets of Baal, there was no God. Baal was not a God. There never was no answer, never was no fire, but Elijah built his altar and they took water, poured water around it and soaked up the wood and put trenches around it. And when Elijah prayed, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the altar and even the water that was in the ground, it consumed it all, even the dust. I want you to know someday after a while, the fire is going to come down and it's going to consume everything. But all the people said, the Lord, he be God. But listen, our thought is where Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for your God is either talking or he's a pursuing or he is in a journey. A pre-adventure sleepeth and must be awake. And I begin to think about that, how Elijah, and I've talked about that many times, and I guess we all have, how Elijah mocked them, but I'm so thankful that our God is never too busy to hear our prayers. I'm so thankful. I begin to think about where it said that he sleepeth and I need to be awake. I thought about when Jesus was over there in the storm and it said he was in the hinder part of the ship and he was asleep and they came down and woke him up and said, Lord, care not that we perish. And he rose up and rebuked the winds and the waves and the storm. And they said, what manner of man is this? And even the wind and the storm and the waves obey him. But then he rebuked them and said, have you no faith? I want you to know, they didn't have to go there and wake him up physically. They could have asked him from where they was and he would have heard them. Yes, he was a man, but he was also God. And the reason he rebuked them, he wanted to know where their faith was. All they had to do was ask them prayer, and he would have heard them. He never is that far away from any of us. He's near unto all of us. And I thought about that and how any kind of storm comes around, anything's going on around about us. And I want to go here in Isaiah 43 and I want to take my text there and that's where our thought is going to lay for a little while. But it said, but now thus saith the Lord. And this is the first two verses of Isaiah 43. I saith the Lord that carried thee, O Jacob, and he formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I begin to think about that and how God, when he brought the children out of Egypt, and I've heard Brother Barry mention it several times lately, how there were 600,000 foot soldiers. Listen, there was at least 2 million people there. I think probably closer to 3, but listen, they would back up there to the sea, and he told them, he said, when thou in the waters, I'll be with you. I want you to know they're back was against the wall. They had nowhere to go. And Pharaoh began to come with his army. I want you to know he was sending chariots. He was sending them to kill them. They had nowhere else to turn. And they finally got to the point they cried out on the Lord. But then they began to murmur also against Moses, as they always did. But I want you to realize when it come time that they had no other place to go, they looked to God. And Moses took that rod and stuck it out there. And God separated the water. And them people walked through on dry ground. He's never too far away from us. He is always there. I don't even believe they got their feet muddy. He said they walked across on dry ground. And I want you to realize when the Pharaoh and his army got there, they kept pursuing. And I want you to realize he brought the waters back in and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And then I begin to think about when they got to the River Jordan. And I don't know, I've seen pictures of the River Jordan. And it don't look much bigger than Lone Creek down there to me. But it said, when they got to the river, he said, I'll be with you. and the rivers. And when they got there to the river, it said it was a time of harvest. I guess, Brother Cody, you know how it is now. And when it comes time to harvest, you're trying to get your corn to beans in, it's raining. And it said the waters was out of the banks because it was a time of harvest. I want you to realize it wasn't like going to that Lone Creek and finding you a good place, shallow place to walk across. It said the waters was out of the bank when they got there. It was like going down there after it's come a flood and the waters was up high and moving fast. There wasn't no place to cross. But God made a way. I want you to know he separated them waters. He took stones from the priest and put the priest, took them stones out there and set them there and the people crossed. Once again, he was with them. He's never left us nor forsake none of us. He told them, he said, when thou walk through the fire, I'll be with you. And you can't help but think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Had been a decree made. Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree. And when the golden, out of when the sound of the trumps was sound, that there was a golden censer there that they all would bow down to hit. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wasn't aimed to do it. They wasn't going to bend a knee to that false god. And they come to Nebuchadnezzar and told him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bend a knee to it. They wouldn't bow and recognize his god. And he told them to heat the fire furnace. He said to heat it seven times that it'd be heated. He took those men, he threw them in there, and it was so hot, the men that threw them in there was consumed by fire. And I want you to realize, he looked and he said, how wasn't it three men that we put in there with him? And they said, yeah, it was three. But he said, I see the fourth. And he said, it's of the Son of God. I want you to realize, no matter what we're going through, he's never asleep. I think about so many times when I'm praying, just sometimes just right here at Hilltop, we'll gather around every once in a while, we'll call out on God. I think about so many times when Clifford, the first time they thought he had cancer, they sent him to Nashville. They done said he had cancer. He had it in his lungs, and they would send him down there to the cancer doctor to take care of it. And he gets down there. They can't find it before he went. We come in here on a Wednesday night to have a Bible study in this little church. There's about 20 of us maybe gathered up here and begin to call on the Lord. I want you to realize there's been times just here that there'll be 40, 50, 100, 150 calling on God. To me, that's mass confusion. It said maybe, Elijah said maybe he's talking to somebody. He can't hear you. He's too busy. Every once in a while, I'll be on the phone. I'll be talking to somebody on the phone. Somebody a text. I'll start trying to send it back while I talk on the phone. And I'll look later and it'll be the awfulest mess ever was. I can't do that. But I want you to know, my God can hear everyone, not just here. You think about 15 to 20 minutes, maybe here at Hilltop, 10 minutes to 12, whatever time it is, that when the church is on the Lord's Day praying, how many people in the world are praying? Now I'm talking about children of God, talking to God, and he hears every one of them. That just blows me away. I can't hear TJ talk on the phone and answer Barry back on the text. I can't do it. But he can. Anymore, the older I get, 9 o'clock rolls around, I'm going to sleep in a recliner. I just can't do it. I just can't hardly stay awake anymore. But for eternity, he's been awake. And he's watching after me and you. He's omnipresent. He's so omnipresent, he's in me. He's in this church. Josh told us this morning about when we get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in us. And I believe that in all my heart. I believe we get baptized in it. I believe a part of the baptism at the water's edge is an outward showing of inward grace. I believe that. But I also believe this church has the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, come unto him and to lead and guide us and direct us in all truth. And so he's not far from any of us. So he's always with us. So he's not in a pre-adventure. He's not a journey. I thought about Lazarus and how Lazarus, the Lord was, he loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. They was his friends. The Bible clearly says that. He loved them. It says he loved them. And the day was, him and the disciples was in a journey, and he told them, he said, Lazarus sleepeth. He wasn't there. And they said, well, Lord, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. And they go, well, they wasn't getting it. And he finally just plainly said, Lazarus is dead. And I know they was thinking, well, we need to get to our Lord. And he was there. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew when they laid him in the grave, he knew every bit about it. He knew how Martha and Mary was suffering. And when he got there to them, and they said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would have died. Don't you know he was there? He saw every bit of it. He never missed one thing. He's never missed anything. He's never been in such a journey. He don't know what you're going through. And I want you to know it hurt him. It hurt him to see him suffer. I've talked about that, but listen to me. He's always there. And you say, well, then why does this stuff happen, Brother Jill? Why do we have to go through things? I still don't understand all that. But I know in everything there's a purpose. There's some born blind that he could heal that they'd be able to see. There's some die young. And I don't know. I promise you there's a purpose in it. But he's always there. Don't never, and the world will tell you, here's what the world says. Where's your God? They become Elijah. I see you. I hear you praying. Won't you pray a little louder? Won't you go to the altar? That's what the world does to us. Where's your God at? See, they can't feel him. They don't know it. But you can just say, he's right here. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's right here. I thought about, and I'm going to finish with this. But don't ever give up on God. He's here. He's with you. He hadn't forgot you. He's not too busy. I will. I'm no different than Baal. You go to depending too much on your pastor, and I'll fail you, and you'll get your feelings hurt. Because I'm a man. I sleep. I take journeys. Leanne sent me a text, and when he texted in, and she said, I almost asked for you to come. She put in capital letters, he come. I want you to know, I would fail her, and she knows that. But God will never fail you. He'll never fail you. He will never fail you. He will be there because he's always there. It ain't he's got to travel to Knoxville to get there. He's there. He was there with Lazarus. And I want you to know he was there. He never missed anything. He was right there. He saw it all.
He saw your heartbreak. He put and reached out his arms. He was there. There's so forever here, these sayings of mine, and doeth them I will liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. And we're not talking about a house. Build your life on a rock. And you to build your house on that rock, you got to be saved by God's grace. Jesus is that rock. And listen, he said, and the rain descended, and the floods came. The waters came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For what was it founded on? It was founded on a rock. The storms are still going to come. They're still going to beat. I want you to know it's going to beat you down. You're going to be backed up against the waters, and you got nowhere else to go. And you'll realize he never went nowhere. So when the storm beats your house and you think it's going to fall, just remember, you're built on a rock. Amen. And you're not going nowhere. My God is omnipresent. For those of us that have been born again, he dwells in us.
Amen.
So when they say, where's your God? You say, right here. Right here. He never went nowhere. He ain't asleep. He ain't too busy talking to nobody else. He ain't out there on an adventure. He's right here. And I want you to be able to feel it. I want you to be able to see the fire come down to heaven where you too can say the Lord, he's God. No matter how rough it gets, you can shout and sing, the Lord, he is God. Your house will stand. It'll stand. Solomon built him a house for him to dwell in. And he said, you think his house can hold me? He said, the heavens and the earth can't hold me. He's everywhere at one time. So when we get ready to cross the River Jordan, when our journey to cross into Canaan land is coming, and it's harvest time, and it's coming, the old muddy waters is going to be high. But you know who's going to take her hand? Her priest. On that rock, he'll stand. He's took those 12 stones. You know what he built? Elijah built his altar out of 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. They put those 12 stones across the Jordan, the 12 stones that represented the tribes of Israel, and they took and made a memorial that showed how God had brought them out of bondage and brought them home. We'll step on that stone when it comes time to cross the Jordan, because we're on a solid rock. And he'll hold her hand. And he'll be with us because he never was far from us. So I've heard Daniel say, but I've had so a hard time saying her little name. About Claire, how she just beat him home. Just picked her up. And he took her across the Jordan. Jamie, you said you wanted to talk to Tim one more time. You're going to get your opportunity. I believe you'll be able to spend eternity. The questions I can't answer on, you're going to have one a lot greater than me or Heath ever was to answer. But listen, you're going to have eternity to talk to him. I believe that in all my heart. He was there. I don't know. It may not mean much to y'all. I guess I always thought it was a little funny that Elijah mocked him. But then I thought about how many times I've been mocked. That's exactly what the world does. I can tell you where he's at. He's right here. And if he hadn't been right here, I wouldn't have stood up and tried it. I promise you that. When your back gets back up against the ocean and you ain't got nowhere to see, you ain't got nowhere else to go, go to God. Because he's right there. He's just waiting for you to be able to part the waters. I'm sorry you're hurting. I wish I could fix it. I wish I could, but I can't. But I know the one that can. And I know he wants to help you. Because he's our rock. And we're on a solid foundation. So, I want to ask y'all to do this. I'll get a chance. Practice what I just preached. My day will come. If the Lord don't take me first, I've lost several close to me. I can't picture. I just can't do it. I can't picture what sits over here. Can't do it. But y'all remind me that he was there. And he took them on home. He led them across the Jordan. And it's going to be all right. Because it will be. Because he's with us. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. That's my little thought. I love you. Corey, if you got us a song.